We talked 2 weeks about strife, and I'm going to get back to strife, but I'm going to do it a little differently so we'll get it. I want to talk today about peace, and then next week about peacemakers if I don't change my mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is the verse we use to explain the nature of man's spirit, soul, and body. It says, "And the very God of peace." Who is he? The God of peace. You know, there are a lot of Elvis Presley interpreters, and you would know, you would not say, that's the very Elvis, because the very Elvis is dead. We used to use that expression, the very one. That's the very one. In other words, it's real. Well, this is the very God of peace. That's who he is. He is the God of peace. And it says he wants to sanctify you wholly. If he sanctified you wholly, you're going to have peace wholly. I mean, you're going to have peace, spirit, soul, and body. Now look at Romans 15:33, because this reference to Almighty God, the nature of God, is in several passages of Scripture. He is the God of peace. 15:33 says, "Now the God of what? The God of peace be with you all." So the God of peace is for who?
All.
It's for all. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? I know everybody in here has lost their peace at one time or another. Christmas used to be my most unfavorite time of the year. I used to promote in my family, let's have Christmas once every 5 years. Never could get anybody to go for it. And now I've just come alongside and I said, okay, fine, I give. The God of peace, not peace is P-I-E-C-E-S, but God of peace. God of peace be with how many? You ever lost your peace? I told one lady she needs to go back to the point of stress and let's solve that. She said, if I knew where that point was, I'd be standing there today. So it's frequent with women that we don't know where we lost our peace. Have you noticed that? Somewhere down the road of life, I lost my peace. Well, in all of the books, most all the books of Paul, look at 1 Corinthians 1:3. You're right there on that page. Two things are listed, grace and peace. They're always listed in that order. Grace be unto you in peace. You know why? Because if you don't know the grace of God, you can't experience the peace of God. Grace is God's provision for you, your acceptance of that provision. It's a big, big picture. When grace comes into your life, you have certain things provided for you. You've become acquainted with those things. You've reached out by faith and you've received those things. And free of charge by the might and power of Almighty God, those things have come to you. Well, that brings what? Peace like a river. Peace like a river. It doesn't say peace and grace, because until you know grace, there is no peace. So grace is very important. You had a couple of good lessons on grace, I know, so I just point that out to you. First grace, and then peace. And because of grace, there's peace. You know, if there's no provision for you just in the natural. Note, you know, you see, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Big, fat, juicy ones, little bitty, skinny ones. You know that song? Guess I'll go eat worms. Well, if nobody loves you, or if that's your perception, that nobody loves you, you have nobody to provide for you, nobody to care for you, you don't like being alone. One lady was so glad to go to the hospital. I visited her, and you know why it was? I finally figured it out. There were people up there. Somebody kept checking on her. She said, they wake you up all the time. I said, they do? She said, yeah. She's been tired. She's tired of being alone. And I love that. God said, I'll just ship her to the hospital. There's people up there. She'll love that. I don't know about the medical treatment. We won't discuss that. But the people, the attention was good for her. She loved that. She needed that. Well, there's grace. There's good things provided for you. There's riches because of Jesus' death and resurrection. They're in the book. You can have them by your faith, and that should bring us great peace. Grace and then peace. Now, we have a God of peace. And look at Isaiah 9:6. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace. He's listed in his names, his characteristics there is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. The God of Peace sends the Prince. A prince is a ruler, someone in command, someone in charge, someone with authority. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We could sing that, you know, I love to sing. The government should be upon his shoulder. His name should be called what? Wonderful. Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. Now don't stop there. Look at your next verse. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be what? Peace without end. The Bible does not say a lot of different things. It says a few things, many different ways. There are three expressions which are in essence are the same. Peace without end, perfect peace of Isaiah 26:3, and peace beyond understanding of Philippians 4. And it doesn't matter if it's unending peace or peace beyond understanding or perfect peace. It's all the same thing. It's the supernatural capacity of God coming into our life. If you don't have peace, you're distressed, you're uptight, you're troubled, you're strung out, you're perplexed, you're anxious, you're restless. And yet that's not the will of God, because the God of peace came. Now, what was God's first declaration when Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Luke chapter 2. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And when the angels came in all of that glory, it's amazing. I want you to get this. This is just a sideline. The strength of the human spirit. You are a spirit. Right down here, you are spirit. And the strength of your spirit can never be over-anticipated, never overemphasized. You are a spirit, and in your spirit lives the Holy Spirit. And I can remember, if you plant it in your spirit, the Holy Spirit's there to bring it to your remembrance. You can conquer life with the Holy Ghost and the human spirit. And if we know that, PMS shouldn't be any problem. And it is a problem because you said it was. They told you it was, and you believed it. That's just my addenda. I believe that to every fiber of my being. And so you solve that with your mouth. My neighbor said chocolate always gave her trouble. I said, never bothers me. No way I'm going to foul up my friendship with chocolate. You can forget it. No way. Well, this passage of scripture, Luke chapter 2, where the angels came. We sang that in a cantata when I was 16 years old. And to this day, I can sing every note. When I was reading that scripture again, I thought, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and they were sore. You know why that is? I am a spirit, and in my spirit is the capacity of Almighty God. Amen. And if you ever grab that, there isn't any trouble, any anxiety, any perplexing. I know you're going to stumble in life. You're going to have some setbacks. I'm not promoting life without setbacks. I'm promoting conquering. I'm promoting victory. There's victory in Jesus. And it's not sometimes. Peace is for all. Victory is for all. You have the Spirit of God in you. God is in you. Well, the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace to declare peace. Now look at Romans 10. It's a very simple outline I give you today, but it's simply profound. The God of peace. Who is he? The God of peace. Now that's important to you because you have the nature of God. Romans 10. I forgot my old Bible today. The one that has all the pages that turn. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the what? The gospel of peace. Oh, the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace to declare peace and to give to all who will listen, heed, and hear the gospel of peace. Now, we're going to come back to this question several times, but why is our soul disquieted? That's how the psalmist put it. Why do we get troubled and uptight and strung out? Why? Where's the God of peace? Where's the Prince of Peace? Now, you know the three characteristics given in the scripture of God's kingdom. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Peace is a characteristic of God, the Son of God, and the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom of righteousness, rightness, joy, and peace. You know, if we don't believe that, we quit singing Peace Like a River. I got peace like a trickle, I got peace like a trickle. I lost my peace the other day so bad. I mean, I haven't lost my peace like that in 10, 15 years, and I know that for a fact. And I kept talking to myself. I said, now, Becky, listen to me. Scripture says speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm speaking to myself. I couldn't even think what to say to myself. So I called, it was a business matter, and I called the business people, and they didn't have an explanation. So I waited till after lunch. That's before lunch. I thought about it and pondered it, and I called and said, maybe I'll get a new technician, which I did. Explained the whole thing to them. They didn't have an explanation. And finally, I said, well, I'd like to talk to the supervisor, please. I don't ever raise my voice because I'm good at it. I always deliberately, intentionally lower my voice. So the soft answer turns away wrath. I believe that physically and spiritually. So I lowered my voice and I said, may I speak to the supervisor, please? I wanted to stomp my foot. So the supervisor came and gave me the explanation. She said, I'm really sorry our technicians couldn't explain that to you. Well, I'm sorry too, because I canceled my contract. I don't do business like that. And they called and they begged me. But they got Wayne on the phone. Oh, and the lady said, how can I make you happy, Mr. Cumby? And he said, I knew who he was talking to. He answered the phone. I didn't. He said, you can't make me happy. It was over. And I was so stressed out, I was trembling. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, I can't remember that happened to me in 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. I was literally trembling. I was so stressed out. But then I had to do what every stressed person is. I had to commit it to the Lord, put my faith in action, and solve it myself, which I did in about an hour. Stress is an amazing thing. If we can lay stress aside and in Him abide, in Him hide and reside, then He'll come through. He'll come through every time when we trust in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. You know that's the path of peace. Well, we have a gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Look at Ephesians 6. The God of peace, since the Prince of Peace, with the gospel of peace. I don't get too stressed out. Over 41 years with Wayne Cumby, you learn not, he doesn't get stressed out. If you get stressed out, you're all alone. He's not going to help you. And so, that's a good thing I had to conform. Look at verse 15. What are your feet shod with? The gospel of peace. Now, when your feet are shod with the gospel of peace, peace are on your feet, and fall things are under your feet. Then peace, who's reigning? Peace is ruling, isn't it? Isn't peace reigning? Doesn't it have the upper hand? That doesn't mean that what you have under your feet might not try to crawl up your leg. It will. I can just guarantee you that it will. So you stop that this minute, you foul devil, under my feet. Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. The God of peace dwells in here. The God of peace. Sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace. Now look at Romans 3. Here's the reason. Peace like a river. Peace like a river. Verse 17. These verses are a description of the sinner. Sometimes they take these verses out of context. Use them of the Christian. But none of these verses, 10 through 18, is a description of the sinner. Not the Christian, the sinner. It says, the way of peace have they not known. Now that tells us two things. There is a way of peace. That's good news. There is a way of peace. And the sinner does not know, cannot know that way. The sinner doesn't have the way of peace. So the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace to declare peace, the gospel of peace, to a people without peace. So that we could have peace like a river. Peace like a river. We don't have to sing anymore. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. I had Suzanne look the words. She works for us. Those words up. And there's not a single word in that song that you'd ever want to sing again. And it even says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Hallelujah. Nobody knows my sorrow. Hallelujah. It's got several hallelujahs right in the middle there. I said, you got to be kidding. It's because we know the Prince of Peace. Well, if the God of Peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace, and the first thing they declared when he was born was peace on earth, to people that didn't have peace, that desperately needed peace, and we can have that peace. Look at Romans 5:1. What in the world is our problem? Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, that's the work of the blood, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word justified means just as if I'd never sinned. That's the blotting out of sin. That's the new creature within. That's the placing of eternal life in the human spirit. Being justified, we have peace. What does it say? We have it? Does it say we have it? Does it say we will have it? Does it say we could have it? What does it say? Then why don't we have it? It says we have it. Where is it? Have you ever had something you didn't know where it was? I have not been in a Christmas mode. I decorated my house because I thought it was necessary to life. We put up 7 or 8 trees every year. We decorate from stem to stern for Wayne and I. Some years nobody ever even comes. If we don't have the family gathering at my house, which we very, very seldom do at Christmas because I have to Thanksgiving because I have the only one with enough tables. We have a larger family. So I just do it for Wayne and I. Well, there's always something you can't find. You know, we have boxes and boxes and boxes over the years of stuff. We don't have any cute little family type stuff. Oh, that was a troubled day when I took the Christmas tree down, you know, all the little cottage cheese lids with the paper on the, you know, all those little cute things. I very delicately wrapped them and put them in a garbage bag and I put them on the back porch. And I said to Wayne, put this in the attic. He said, I will in a minute. But he didn't. He took it to the road with the garbage. And if you didn't think I was stressed out that day, you weren't there. And I moaned and groaned over that. So ever since, we have an agreement. If I want it and it's Christmassy, I buy it. Nobody can tell me not to buy it. He made that agreement. He said, now you can have anything you want for Christmas. So I do. I just do. Well, I only decided to put up 2 trees this year. I'm having a slow year. I only put up 2 trees. Took out all the flowers, all the candles. Took out only half of the Santas. I have a large Santa collection. And then I thought, where is my Santa Claus with a Scottish kilt? Where is my Scottish Santa Claus? Where is he? Couldn't find him. I know he's some. He is somewhere, but you should see the boxes. You should see. Well, there's no way I'm going to hunt for him. You know, sometimes we compromise peace. I'm mad, and I'm going to be mad, and I'm sad, and I'm going to be sad. I was at Watson Clinic. I don't know what I was doing there, but the lady down from me said, did you know I had cancer? I said, no, ma'am. I thought, I didn't know who you are. I didn't say that. She had decided, and probably she didn't know any better, to promote the work of the devil. Sometimes we promote our distress. Do you do that? Right. I'm unhappy. Here's the reason why. Bring 10 people. I want to tell my story. Gather all around. I have words I want to say. I'm unhappy. Here's the reason. Once my heart was happy, but you'll never guess what happened. And I'm going to tell it. And we seal our own fate with the words of our mouth. Now, if the God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to people who didn't know peace, and if we come to Jesus Christ, we do have it. It says we have it. We have it. We have it. Where is it? That's the question. Look at Galatians 5. This is so simple. I have peace like a river. Peace like a river. Peace like a river in my soul. Where's peace? It's amazing. It doesn't have to be important for you to lose your peace. Have you noticed that? Just thinking about, I love that Scottish saint. I love him. Where is he? I love him. I can just flat get in distress over that. I said to Wayne, where is he? And Wayne is very helpful. He says, I haven't seen him. Then I was looking for my large nativity. I have a large collection of nativities. If it's Christmassy and I want it, I buy it. Somebody threw all my stuff out. And I said, where's my large nativity? He said, which one? I said, the one with all the glitter on it. The big one, 12-inch figurines. He didn't know. And then it dawned on me. I said, oh, I bet I put it in the closet rather than the attic. It doesn't take much to cause trouble. Does it? It doesn't take a big deal. Just little bitty deals. One mother came and she's screaming in my face. I said, wait a minute. Back up 2 feet and say that again. She said, somebody, I forget what his name was, made of F. Went, oh, is that it? The way she was screaming, hollering, carrying on, I thought he was dying. Well, I said, oh, he made an F. Is that his first F? Yes. I said, he's made one F. His first F. What grade's he in? And that's the first F. Totally unconcerned. And she was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, we're going to hire a tutor if it persists. Oh, she said, we could hire a tutor. I said, absolutely. I said, they have remedial math groups, you know. They do? I said, oh, yes, ma'am, they do. I said, have you consulted your teacher? No. I said, start there. It didn't take much, does it? Do you know the dog? My brother's dog went through the door, the screen door. Do you know what kind of trouble one little square screen cost? You can replace that screen for $3 or $4 or $5. Do you know what an upset that was? First of all, I would never. Dogs are supposed to be under 15 inches tall. Everybody should know that. Wasn't my fault he got a dog that stands this high that went through the screen door because they didn't open it in time. I told him, this is my theory about life. If you die next to a can of tuna, it's not my fault. Open the tuna and eat it. That is your deal. Does it take much to get stressed out? Why do we do it? The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to a people without peace so that we can have peace without end, peace beyond understanding. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. You can have perfect peace. You can be totally undisturbed. When you get to the point of being totally undisturbed, somebody, you know what? The first thing they'll say is, you don't really care, do you? Peace looks like unconcern. It looks like you're hard-hearted. I said, no, I'm not hard-hearted or down-hearted. I got peace like a river. Peace like a river. Where'd I get it? Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit. Now that says capital S, but it's not a capital S. There's only one word for Spirit. It's a Greek word, pneuma. You have to determine by the context, is it the Holy Spirit or the human spirit? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Eternal life comes to your spirit. Here's your body after fruitcake. I only draw them that big so you can see them. Here's the spirit born again and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And in the spirit, the Holy Spirit resides. Eternal life. Now, remember, I told you eternal life does not mean to live forever. Sinner's going to live forever. He doesn't have eternal life. Eternal life means to possess the life of the eternal one. Amen. On the inside. Now, you tell me if I'm born again, have the Holy Spirit, and have eternal life. What's the problem here with the dog running through the screen or the Scottish Santa? What's the deal? Where's peace? Why can't you find it? The fruit of the Spirit. Eternal life is the nature of God. Part of the nature of God is peace. He's the what? God of peace. Well, it's love. It's long-suffering. All of those nine fruit are a product of eternal life. You have the life of the eternal life. 2 Peter 1 says you are a partaker of the divine nature. Well, the divine nature is the very nature of God. The day you came to God, he made you a new creature. He made you a partaker of the divine nature. And in your spirit is peace. Now, it may only be this big. You know how every minister that preaches says something, so uses expression, fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree? You heard him preach and use that expression? Well, I've not been from the South and never seen a cherry tree. So I did some research, contacted some people who knew cherry trees. They said, if I stand under the cherry tree, will the cherries eventually ripen and fall off on me? And they assured me that they would. Now, peace isn't going to fall on you. It's not going to fall on you. It's a fruit, and fruit has to grow. It has to be nurtured. It has to be cultivated. If you neglect an orange grove, you've seen the orange groves that are neglected. They go to weed. The trees dry up, the leaves fall off, and they look awful. They look like apple trees, which are actually healthy. Have you ever seen a healthy apple tree? That's the saddest little tree you've ever seen in your life. I mean, really, they're sad little trees. I mean, they look totally neglected. Well, if you neglect these fruit that are in you, they won't manifest. The scripture says, put on. You've got to put on what's been put in because I'm a Christian. I have the peace of God on the inside. It's in there. It says, being justified, you have it. Peace has to be cultivated. It has to be nurtured. It has to be, look at 1 Peter, it has to be pursued. Now, you know because you watch TV how they pursue a criminal. if somebody shot somebody, there'd be 15 police cars here within a short period of time. And if they ran off down the block, they'd be pursuing them with dogs and every other resource they had. You understand pursuit. Verse 11, chapter 3, let him eschew evil, do good, let him what? Seek peace, and the word is ensue, and that word ensue, we would say pursue. You've got to seek it, you've got to pursue it, you've got to know it's on the inside, you've got to cultivate, you've got to feed it. Peace has to grow, peace has to be practiced. Pursue it. It's not going to be automatic. You can stand all you want to and holler and holler and holler, but peace isn't going to overcome you, isn't going to overtake you, you're going to have to shut up. Say, I can. Shut up. Now for those who don't have any trouble shutting up, say, I will. Speak up. Just life has two sets of people. The people that need to speak up, the people that need to shut up. Look at Hebrews 12. If you study with me, it all becomes very simple. It's because I have a very simple mind. Verse 14. Follow peace. Pursue peace, seek peace, follow peace. Does that sound like if we stand in one spot that God's going to tackle us and overcome us with peace? Does that what it sounds like? That peace is just going to be automatic? It means we're going to have to cultivate some peace, right? Follow peace. Now look at Colossians. We're going to have to make some peaceful decisions. We're going to have to tackle ourselves. Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule. Now, you remember your English structure. What's the subject of that sentence? Do you have any English people? No English people? Anybody remember the understood you? You let the peace of God rule. Who's going to let it rule? God will tackle you with peace, overcome you with peace. No, you let it rule. Who's going to let it rule? Who's going to let it rule? Where is it? It's on the inside. It's in the spirit. And the more I cultivate peace, just like that tree. Now, we have an avocado tree. Suzanne grew it in a jar. She actually grew two. And we planted them in a pot till they grew about this high. And they need to be repotted, and we put them in the yard. Unfortunately, one got very unhappy. And it died. But the other one is doing quite well. But it has to be nurtured because they don't like their feet wet, but they don't like their feet dry. So somebody has to, and it's beyond the irrigation system. What stupid person suggested planting it on the other side of the fence? That would be me. Beyond the irrigation system. After we planted, I had this flash of a watering can and the hose drug across the backyard. But you don't water that dude, guess what happens to him? If you neglect peace, you won't have any. It's on the inside. It's available. Peace is available. Peace is available. Peace is available. Peace is available. It is inside. The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace to you who had no peace. You received Jesus. He gave you eternal life, the nature of peace. The fruit of peace is inside. And if I cultivate it, if I seek it, if I pursue it, if I follow after it, then it grows in me. It becomes, dominates my life. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. There are two primary characteristics of God's children. One is the love of God that's shed abroad in the heart, and the other is the peace that's seen in their life. It said, blessed are the peacemakers. We'll get to that next week, for they should be called the sons of God. People recognize peaceful people, and they know the supernatural peace of God in someone's life. Now, if you go to the hospital and somebody dies, they're following their heartbeat. You know it's going up and down. And when they die, that up and down life becomes a straight line. Goes, And that's the way peace is. It's not up and down. It just goes, For years, our dog is 15. For years, the last, I don't know how many years, the vet suggested a little surgery. I'm not interested. Every time he mentioned that, it upset me. This is my very last dog. And I talked to the desk, and don't feel led to live to be 20, okay? Because at 15, she's become trouble. But anyway, we take care of her. You know what happens? Your children get married, they leave you with the dog. This is what happens. And so, He suggested surgery, but I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to have surgery. I do not want to have surgery. He suggested year after year. And so finally, he knows me. We've been at the same vet, four dogs. Over 20 years, four dogs. He says, did we discuss the surgery? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay. And he says, go on, because he knows I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. Well, year before last, about January, it suddenly dawned on me the dog's not well. I don't know what you, if you're not going to take care of your dog, don't get one. We take care of ours. We have a financial commitment to her. If you're not going to make a financial commitment, you do not need an animal. They take money. And we had two children, three dogs, a cat, and a bird. The bird died. The cat's gone. All the dogs are gone but one. Victory is in sight. Glory to God. January, I noticed, and I said to Wayne, something's wrong with the dog. He said, yeah, I think so. So I carried to the vet, and he told me what was wrong with her, quickly to discern that, and he said that she's going to have major surgery. And she's 13. He said, I don't know if she'll do well, but she can't live without it. And my heart just went, I never had such peace in my life. Never had such peace. I wasn't up. I wasn't down. Almighty God, God of my Father eternal, the God of peace who lives on the inside. Went, I'm so grateful. I said, put her on the schedule. She was weeks and weeks in recovering. We carried her to the yard, propped her up so she could potty. You had to fold her legs back up and carry her back in the house. Wayne fed her with an eyedropper for weeks and then with a syringe. Trouble, trouble, trouble. But she's still here now. She's 15, fully recovered from that dilemma. And I was so grateful, the God of peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace without end. And all that time, she looked awful. She felt awful. You know, we had to have 15, 20 minutes to give her all the drugs she had to take for the day. And some days twice, you know. And she's not going to open her mouth. Pekingese can seal theirself shut. And she's not opening her mouth. And she's in pain and she might bite. And we just went, Suzanne called and said, what are you doing? I said, feeding the dog. What are you doing? We're giving the dog a pill. What are you doing? Daddy just took her out to potty. I mean, never had so much trouble in my life. And my heart just went, because the God of peace. There's someone on the inside, ladies. Now, quickly, you got that, didn't you? It's in here. If you don't choose it, you don't seek it, you don't follow it, it ain't coming out. You know what? I speak to myself. Sometimes I have to say, you come out of there this minute. I mean that. Now I'm going to give you four things. There's peace in believing. Look at Romans. I'm going to tell you where to find your peace because you've become a peacemaker. You can't become a peacemaker if in your life you're constantly seeking peace. Grow peace. We're going to grow up in peace. We're going to lay aside trouble. 15:13, give you all these in a hurry. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Where's peace? It's in believing. Why? If I know God is for me, and the scripture says Romans 8, he is. If I know God's on my side, Psalms 124 says. And I love Psalms 124. It's like a record. It's like a broken record or a record with a scratch. It stutters. It said, oh, if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side. And then it repeats it. Oh, if it hadn't been for the Lord on our side. And it says, my, if it hadn't been for the Lord on Israel's side. I mean, if we had just believed that. God's for you. He's on your side. He loves you. He said he'd meet your need. He's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Numbers 23, verse 19, I think. God keeps his word. He said, let God be true. If I believe that, if I know Almighty God has made abundant provision for me, grace is his provision, and I can have that provision with my faith. Believing brings peace. Now let's get it again in 2 Peter 1, 2. First thing you ask people when they come with a trauma, see if they know the scripture. See, they have to know what God is going to do. If you're going to help them, we have to know what God is going to do. What is God going to do? Verse 2 of chapter 1, 2 Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through knowledge. The more you know about God, the more peace you can have. The more grace you can experience, the more peace you can have. Grace and peace. Peace comes through knowledge. Now that isn't anything different than what we did read. There's peace in believing. There's peace in knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Hearing. And when you have knowledge, you choose to believe it or reject it. So knowledge is the key to faith. Faith and belief Knowledge and belief go together. Now look at the 119th Psalm. A fella called me early this week in great distress. First thing I did was point him toward the scripture. We have to know, what will God do for him? What will God do for him? What will God do for him? He was under stress. I understood his stress. You know, one of the teenagers done wrecked the car. I understand that. We had that several times. 165, 119. Great peace. What's that word? Great. Do you understand great? Great peace, you know, that's all that stuff in the attic. Great peace have they that love my law. You love the law of God. You believe the law of God. You know what God has said. You can have peace. There isn't any peace if you're on your own, if you think you have to do it yourself, figure it out yourself. If you don't know what you believe, get somebody from here that knows what they believe and go to the scripture. Say, give me a scripture. Give me a verse. You've got to have, in order to have peace, you've got to have God in his word. You've got to have confidence in that word. You've got to believe that word. Now look, the second thing is, it's John 15. There's great peace in believing. You've got to believe something. Find the scripture. I told this man, you read the Bible for 2 hours and then pray in the spirit for 2 hours. He said, all right. I know him well, so he will do that. That'll bring his peace. There's great peace in abiding in God. There's great peace in his presence. And there's a difference in having knowledge of God and being in the presence of God. You've got to have knowledge of God. You've got to believe what you know about God, but you've got to have the very presence of God. Now look, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Well, what is peace? Isn't it a fruit? Is it a fruit? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So I've got to stir up the presence of God. I've got to sit with him. I've got to have him in my life in a very real and viable way. Look at John 16 where it's repeated. The final verse of that chapter, isn't it? These things have I spoken unto you. Now watch that in me you might have peace. Where is it? In other words, in his presence there's peace. In abiding, in believing, there's peace. In knowing the word of God, there's peace. In knowing the promises of God, there's peace. That's the first one. The second one is in his presence. Well, how am I going to get in his presence? Well, one thing, I'm going to pray in tongues a while. Because when I pray in tongues, I build myself up on my most holy faith. It's like beating up a meringue. You know, every Christmas we would bake chocolate pies for everybody. It takes 30, 40 minutes of pie because I'm not a dump it out of the box, the old chocolate pudding pie, you can forget that. I'm going to do it for real. If I'm cooking, I'm cooking real. And that took a long time, so we did that several years. The next year we did half apple and half chocolate because you can do 3 apples in an hour. And then now we just do apple. We do chocolate only by request. We have one request for chocolate, one request for coconut. Everybody else gets apple. That's what we do because of the time involved. In me, you have peace. You have peace. Well, it takes time to stir up that chocolate. You're just not going to do that overnight. It's a lot harder than peeling apples. Wayne and I can peel 5 pounds of apples in about 10, 15 minutes. It takes no time at all. But if you're going to stir the chocolate, see, if you're going to have peace, you're going to have to pursue it, cultivate it, follow after it, determined to have it. And then you'll have to abide in the word and abide in his presence. Well, if you get in God's presence, it may take a while to get what you need. I love one minister. He said he needed to hear from God. He thought he'd approach, he was at home, he'd approach the throne of God in proper dignity. So he put on, in his house, he put on his shirt and his tie, got on his Sunday suit, the whole deal. Told his wife, I'm going to the bedroom, I'm going to hear from God. He said, after all, this is God. If the president's coming, I'd put on my shirt and tie. So he went in there but 3 minutes. And he came out. And his wife said, well, trooper. See, this may take some time. But in his presence, I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to meditate in the Word. I'm going to sit here. I am having peace. I'm not getting up till I do have peace. I'm having it. I'm pursuing it. I'm following it. Presence of the Lord brings peace. The fruit of God is cultivated in his presence. And so we can do that. Now, look at the 119th Psalm. Is it the 119th? Proverbs 3, maybe it is. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. There's always peace in obedience. There's peace in the Word, peace in knowledge, peace in believing. There's peace in His presence. There's peace in obedience. If you're disobedient to what God is saying to you, what He's dealt with you about, you'll never have peace. My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments, length of days, long life, and peace. Peace comes through obedience, through keeping the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 48, which is an absolute phenomenal scripture. There's peace in obedience. If God has spoken to you, dealt with you, and you've refused to obey, you will never, ever, ever have peace. You can mask your disgruntledness, your disquietness for a while, but on the inside, you'll always be stirred up. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It's not like God says, go to Africa. He might say, watch less TV. Or spend more time with your children. Or spend less time on your hair. Just whatever. Thus saith the Lord, verse 17. Are you ready? These are magnificent. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river. You can sing peace like a river, but if you don't obey, you won't have any peace like a river. You probably won't be able to drop out of your spigot. There's peace in believing. There's peace in His presence. And there's peace in obedience. Look at Philippians 4. But see, all of these things feed the fruit that's within you already. We're not reaching out for peace out here or up here. It's in here. It's in here. There's peace in here. And if I get in the Word of God, that is like beating that meringue. It takes 3 egg whites to make a meringue. Did y'all know I knew that? Because we put meringue on the chocolate pie. They're no good without meringue. You take 3 egg whites and they're like that much. But you beat those things and they're that high. And it's still 3 egg whites. It is still 3 egg whites. But you beat it up. And you have some things on the inside. If you'd stir it up, it'd rise. I'm telling you, God would rise. You said, let God arise. He would if you'd stir Him up. Well, you know, sometimes I holler, and usually I holler, and occasionally I don't. 4:9. Those things which you have learned. Well, learning is peace and believing, right? Received and heard and seen in me. Do. Say do. And the God of peace. Who? He's the God of peace who sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to a people with no peace so they can have peace without end. And that peace comes when you believe, when you trust, when you're in His Word, when you're in His presence, and you're obedient to Him. Now there's peace in prayer. And that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I want to show you one thing before we quit. Be careful for nothing. That means don't be full of care, full of worry about anything. That's the F. That's the PMS. That's the chocolate. That's the dent in the car. Button everything. Don't worry about anything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God passes all understanding. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Peace without end. Same thing. Peace without understanding shall keep your heart. That word keep is a military term. It has to do with a garrison of soldiers. Let me show you what it means. First it says you're going to quit worrying. It says don't worry about anything but. That but changes everything. If you're worrying and praying, your prayer is not going to be answered. You can forget it. And we do a lot of that. We pray and then we worry and then we go back to praying and then we worry some more, right? If I go to the phone, you're at my house and we have cake and cookies and I go to answer the phone, which I wouldn't do, by the way, but I go to answer the phone. Don't usually do that. I won't say I wouldn't, but don't usually. And I say, you can have the cake, but don't touch the cookies. But always changes everything. A but changes everything. If there's a but, there's a change. It says, don't worry, but. Why? Because there's a change coming. Peace is coming. Answers are coming. Now it says, if you'll pray with thanksgiving. If you worry and pray, your prayer is not working. If you lay aside worry and you pray, but you don't give thanks, your prayer is still not working. An ungrateful prayer is not answered. It's pray what? With thanksgiving. Why? Because God answers prayer. Because asking you shall receive. The minute I pray based on the word of God, and I know I got an answer. I haven't seen an answer. I don't feel any different. But God answers prayer. Pray with thanksgiving. I said, God, you said you'd meet my need out of your riches and glory. God, you said by Jesus' stripes I was healed. You said greater the peace of my children. I love the translation. It says undisturbed composure. Now look, then peace comes. It says peace garrisons. The word keep is the word garrison. Hear you. Now, we're putting the soul up here just for lack of place to put it. I've said over and over again, your brain, your soul is not the same thing. When you die, your soul's in heaven, your brain's in the dirt. Here's the spirit. Now it says the peace of God is going what? Garrison. There's the very peace of God surrounding you. And worry can't get in. I mean, it tries. It says, have you thought about? Have you considered? Do they have enough? Did you call? Do you think? But see, if you've prayed and you know God answers prayer and you've given thanks, then the peace of God garrisons your heart and your mind. It stands guard and nothing but nothing gets through. Now here's the quote. This is the Cumbie Remembrance version of a quote I read. I absolutely love. It says, prayer is not finished till peace comes. That's why I waited a while. I wanted this little lady to catch the peace that we were sending her. Prayer is not over till peace comes. Now, if you want peace, you've got to know what God had said. You've got to believe that. You've got to spend time in the very presence of God. You've got to spend your life in obedience and full commitment to anything He wants you to do or say. Those instructions already written in the Word and those instructions which would come to you personally. You've got to choose to let peace rule. You've got to choose to let it grow. And then you've got to pray. And when you pray, the supernatural peace of God garrisons, mounts guard, stands by. We were in the forts, the old, forget the name of the fort in Edinburgh, Scotland. And they have these walls and these towers where they keep watch. There are two purposes in the Scottish kilt. One is they want to be unhindered. They want to be able to run without pulling their pants up all the time. You know, that to the modern mind, that should make real good sense. And the other reason is the Queen of England made kilts illegal. And there has never, ever been a love affair between the Scots and the English. And the minute the English queen made a kilt illegal, the Scottish accepted it as their national symbol. Because they're like some of us. Well, on those tall walls, all of these guys, we were there for a wedding, and the wedding, the guys had on their kilts. I mean, if you've seen muscles and kilts, if you haven't seen muscles and kilts, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, they're all lined up. And they're ready. And they're looking off across the horizon. Peace is always ready. Because trouble comes. If you don't have trouble today, you might have some tomorrow. Get your peace ready. Get ready. See your spiritual muscles. Get the muscles of the spirit. Get them online. And then when trouble comes, your heart goes, One fellow had so much peace, he said, is this heaven? Am I dead? I said, no, sir, not yet, not yet. I thought, if you are, I am. Then we're both dead, because I see you. Let's practice, won't you? We're going to practice peace. You ready? You don't have enough money. Your kids are all coming to stay for a week at Christmas. We might better do that one again. Somebody wavered. Your hair doesn't look just right. Your knees are hurting. Somebody made an F. I like to go, Oh, we thank you, our Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for all you've done in us. We choose peace. We ensue it. We pursue it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the peace he has given. Oh, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We believe and we obey and we pray and we abide in you. And we thank you for peace like a river. Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.